You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Hey guys, Chris here. Here's a shout out to all our subscribers. You're what keeps OneOfUs.net up and running. And we've got so much coming for you, including more video versions of the reviews and shows, commentaries, and, because it seems like a lot of you may not always check the front page, contests all the time for subscribers to win big prizes. Like right now, we've got the complete Twilight Zone on Blu-ray, up to win for one lucky Time Lord or above subscriber. And I'm doing this. I'm extending the contest date till the second week of February. More time to enter, more time to win, and new contests will be going live next week. Keep your eye on the front page at oneofus.net for regular new chances for us to say thank you to the subscribers who keep us running.
Have you ever seen a one-trick pony and feel so happy and free? If you've ever seen a one-trick pony, then you've seen me. Have you ever seen a one-legged dog making his way down the street? If you've ever seen a one-legged dog, then you've seen me. Then you've seen
me.
And
we are back with Thumbtacks and Screwjobs. I'm not Gene.
I'm not Richard.
That works out well for both of us, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, thank you as always for tuning in to OneOfUs.net's wrestling podcast. We really appreciate you guys listening. You can listen to everything on the site for free, except some exclusive content that you only get if you're a subscriber, which is really easy to do. You can just click on a button by the side of the page, and that'll show you all kinds of extras and bonus shows, such as the League of Ordinary Gentlemen, and bonus film commentaries, all kinds of stuff. But everything else, like this, completely free. And we just keep on listening, because we'll keep on providing it. So, you know, it's, wow, January. This January, was this the busiest and kind of most newsworthy month outside of a WrestleMania?
I think
that
so.
I can remember of.
I think so. I mean, hell, go down the list.
By the way, if you're wondering why Gene's voice sounds like hell, he was at Ring of Honor in Dallas last night. How was that?
Amazing show, freaking amazing. Anyone that was worried about the contract and so many people leaving, Ring of Honor is in good hands. There's so much amazing talent. I don't even want to spoil. Well, since it's taped, good grief. I think Bobby Fish and Leo Rush had maybe, it'll probably be in the top 20 matches of the year.
Leo Rush has come out of nowhere and is unbelievable. I think everybody spent so long looking for somebody who's going to be the next Rey Mysterio, and I think they've automatically made some presumptions about what that has to be.
Yes.
It's Leo Rush. His only issue is he's so fast that how old is he? He's pretty damn young.
Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, my only issues with his game, it's sometimes sporadic selling.
Yeah.
And it was in full display last night. Girlfriend pointed it out a few times. But besides that, this guy is almost the complete package. And him and Bobby Fish just went to war. It reminded me of a lot of Benoit Guerrero's classic
matches.
He's
22. Leo Rush is 22. This guy's got a long way to go yet.
He's got a great career.
Every time I've seen him, because I only really, really recently started seeing him in Ring of Honor, and I was watching last night's broadcast, and I was looking like the new iteration of the Kingdom, who I don't really like.
Hammered by the crowd.
It's talent, but the Kingdom just isn't working in this latest iteration.
No.
But like the six-man bout at the end for the number one contendership for the television championship, television title, against Marty Scurll, who we will be talking a lot about British wrestling today. But yeah, I mean, Ring of Honor, I think, is in better shape than people realize. But
exactly.
I mean, they're obviously the big event. It's January, and therefore we're really on the road to WrestleMania, and therefore we had to endure
the Royal Rumble. I don't think it was a bad show. It had some really solid matches on there. It was the Rumble itself, the Rumble match itself, where some of the...
I don't know. The women's matches were booked horribly.
They were booked horribly. Bayley and Charlotte tried to make souffle out of the turds they were handed. Nia Jax and Sasha, I don't know. That either you want Nia Jax to be over as your big monster, but you still want to protect Sasha. You have to make up your mind. The company just seems to want to, I don't know, you can't protect everyone.
It's that old thing. It's like, if you don't want somebody to lose to somebody else, don't book them against that.
Don't book the match, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, great degree of confusion. Cena Styles, great.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. Styles brings out the best in anyone he goes against.
Cena, honestly, the last 3 years.
3 years, yes.
Yeah. I mean, ever since they gave him the US championship. And he, room. You know, I don't think he necessarily wanted, you know, he knows he's on the way out the door. He doesn't want to be the guy that holds the entire company, has to hold the company up his shoulders. He did it for 10 years. Whether you like him or not, that guy committed himself to, and the
longest
rumor,
run on top that I can remember.
The rumor is, oh yeah, I mean, longer than Hogan.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rumor is that he, like, have you heard the rumor about his WrestleMania match?
The
rumor about his match, which shows where he is on the card, is that they're going to build up to him and Nikki versus The Miz and Maurice for the IC title. I'm like, really?
That kind of match, really?
Well, but it shows that he... Nobody's talking about him in main events.
He was...
And there's six main events.
Yeah, he was rumored early on, him versus Taker. Either AJ would drop the belt to him and he would challenge Taker, or he would drop... I guess several months ago it was rumored that Undertaker versus Styles and Taker would win, and then Cena would beat him at Mania, career versus title. WrestleMania seems to be fluid. It's constantly changing.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns versus Undertaker didn't seem to meet even in the cards, because they were hyping up Strowman versus Taker on the road to WrestleMania. That seems gone now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think they have much of a clear idea about what they want to do with anybody. Nobody's been booked. The booking is the least coherent, I think, I can remember. We're talking about Raw.
And this is because a 71-year-old man who's out of touch with what the fans want is still making the decisions.
And is seemingly still making decisions during the night.
Making quick, fast changes in the middle of a broadcast.
And the most insane thing about it was... I love the fact that they completely undercut the main gimmick match of the night, which was the Chris Jericho in a shark cage match. And they literally at the end just go, well, that didn't work. And I'm like, yeah,
let's make it a no DQ match.
Okay, here's the thing. They recently did a shark cage match on NXT.
Yes.
Yeah, Revival versus
Authors of Pain.
And it worked. It worked because they did it right. They did it absolutely right. And seemingly on Raw, they went, well, we can't do that again. No. If it worked, you do it. People are going to go, you did that on NXT, but it worked. Don't replace something that's worked that's done before with something that does not work. And this did not work.
Why did they make it a no DQ match? It defeated the purpose of needing the shark cage in the first place.
Yeah. And at what point do they pull the trigger and send... Let's be honest. I am not a huge fan of Kevin Owens. Because I look at Kevin Owens and go, I don't want Kevin Owens, I want Kevin Steen. I can even handle a WWE version of Kevin Steen, but I want Kevin Steen. That's what I want.
I don't like the comedy act, Kevin Owens. I'm fine with it if he wasn't the Universal Champion.
Yeah.
He is the top guy on Raw. The top guy doesn't need to be comedy act. That was my problem with Styles with the Ellsworth losses.
Ugh.
You don't make your top guy look like a doofus.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Rumble itself. Which was,
booked. It wasn't the worst thing ever. It just, you save all of your top guys for the last 10 spots.
Yeah. You don't make anybody look particularly good. Having Roman out at 30 was just such...
Did you see the video on that's going around Facebook?
I love the guy who just looks sad.
He's smiling, and then you hear... He just looks over to the entranceway, looks back, and then just lowers his head.
Just so sad.
Sad.
Like, I kept expecting... it was just... It didn't make any sense.
No sense whatsoever.
I mean, there were some moments of really good booking. And in fact, weirdly, as opposed to the last couple of years, where the first 20 guys you really didn't care about. And the last 10 was like, oh, this is where I'm going to get emotionally involved. And the famous, when they chucked Daniel Bryan out and everybody's like, we don't care from here. And the fact that the first 20 guys, you go, look, none of these guys are going to be making it to the end. Like, they're clearly not booking somebody gets number 29. They aren't booking anybody like that. So I was actually more emotionally invested in, like, well, who... This defines who your mid-carders are. After months of booking Sami Zayn to look like a schmuck, he actually looked good out there.
I had high hopes for Zayn. I stated this right before the Rumble. If Owens loses, I have no idea who's going to win. If Owens retains... I think Sami Zayn may pull it off to give us the final official blow-off match at Mania between the two, which the IWC will be cheering from here.
Well, everybody will, because it's two guys who know how to work together so well.
But Vince would never book that for a championship match at Mania.
And the one thing where you go, this is such a no-brainer that if you actually book this wrong, everybody will just go, yeah, you guys, we're done. We're cancelling our subscription and getting New Japan World instead.
Ty Dillinger, number 10. Yeah, I mean, had to happen.
So natural. And the thing was, he came out and he looked good. He didn't look like somebody they bought up from NXT for half an hour. Dillinger, he is going to be their next multi-time IC champ.
Yeah,
he has IC all over him.
He is the next Dolph Ziggler, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Everything that we hoped Dolph Ziggler would achieve, I think Dillinger is going to if he goes to SmackDown. Yeah. On Raw, he'll get lost in the shuffle. Yeah.
I mean, but looking at those final 10, I don't care about Orton. I don't care.
I think I know why the Roman Reigns thing happened, so he could get the heat so the crowd wouldn't completely crap on Orton winning yet again.
Yeah. You do realize this is an exact rerun of, I think it was the 2007 Rumble. Cena takes the championship and Orton wins the Rumble.
Yeah.
We are 10 years. This is ridiculous.
Vince wouldn't be stupid enough to book Orton versus Cena at WrestleMania. So I'm assuming Cena's losing the belt at the Elimination Chamber, likely to Bray Wyatt so they can have the Bray-Orton blow-off match. Bray keeping the belt at Mania sends a huge signal that they finally have faith in him. I think, from what I've heard, Orton was really down with pitching the idea to help get Bray Wyatt over.
He's kind of, Orton turns up, but he gets he's out injured or part-time for a few months, and then he comes back and they do another face turn, which lasts about half an hour.
Because he's not a great babyface.
He's a terrible babyface. Yeah. He's one of the worst babyfaces I think I've ever seen, and I really can't care about him in the slightest. Yeah. So, you have that inevitably coming to pass. But people bore of him very quickly. And it's really interesting, the number of people now who are using... On the indies or in other promotions are using a hanging DDT and making it look so much better. And it's this weird thing. There's this weird cult of Orton amongst a lot of wrestlers as well who go, oh, he's one of the smoothest guys. And he's this, he's that. And he's like, he's boring.
So many of the old school traditionalists love him to death. I'm sorry, he's boring.
Yeah.
He really is.
He has zero charisma. He was the least charismatic member of Evolution. He was the least charismatic member of Legacy. And he's never for me really been a main event guy.
He's really good.
I think it's based on merch sales alone.
The look. He has the look that Vince wants.
But I don't care. So, and I'm not sure him and Wyatt are going to pull out a main event level match. Yeah. I just don't think it's going to happen.
It's funny you speak of doing moves and doing them better. the Ring of Honor show, Jay White pulls out a five knuckle shuffle. We all started chanting, "You do it better."
Well, yeah, so, but we come out of this, and I'm looking at it, and clearly Rumble sets up WrestleMania.
It didn't do a good setup. I mean, what they're setting up is just, I have little interest.
I mean, Orton versus Wyatt is not going to close the show by any stretch of the imagination.
Undertaker Reigns. Now, any year, Undertaker matches probably could have closed the show out. This year, no. Not Roman Reigns.
I think they got to the point now, it's like, who cares? You know, this is going to be...
This experiment is now what?
This is...
We're 3 years now into the Roman Reigns experiment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it feels like longer.
Royal Rumble 2014 was when it started, so we're officially 3 years into this experiment.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at what kind of match this is and the long history of Undertaker matches, and this is kind of... God, this is... Like that run between like 2003 and 2007,
where he was fighting like
Big Show and A-Train, Kane, Randy Orton, Mark Henry. Batista kind of brings that background a bit, but it's like that was the kind of like we're filling out the numbers because we realize the streak exists and these aren't necessarily our top guys, but we've got to get Undertaker on the card somewhere. Batista was probably the first one. Was like, okay, this kind of comes. Brings it back to having some investment. Yeah. I don't think anybody's emotionally invested in seeing, you know, either Undertaker
Roman freaking Reigns.
Either Undertaker wins, which is like, well, and
yeah,
you know, you've beaten a guy we don't like. Great. Or Roman Reigns beats Undertaker, and everybody just goes, well, that's Roman Reigns being protected again. Taker is so beat.
He needs to retire. He looked feel for him, man.
Bad. I mean, I think that what they should have done, scratch that, put him in a three-way with Goldberg and Lesnar.
Okay.
And because I think the thing is, if Lesnar had gone into business for himself again, like he reportedly did when he ended the streak, Goldberg would, you know, you've got two guys in there who will put the hurt on him. I think Goldberg would break his neck. But that's a match I don't care about either. I mean, I'm like, you know, why should I care about this?
You know, we saw this 13 years ago.
They're setting it up where the only new talent that's going to be in one of the main event matches is going to be Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt, yeah.
Which is a ridiculous situation.
I feel bad for Seth Rollins, man. This is potentially missing two WrestleMania paydays in a row.
I think Seth Rollins has to start thinking about what he's doing.
Yes.
Something has to change pivotally with what he's doing, because his style, there is clearly something problematic about him trying to do his style on the WWE schedule. Like that, he's blowing his knee out because he goes down awkward on a Kachina clutch. Crazy. And it really was. He just fell awkwardly. And I'm like, that's against a guy he's fought before.
Yes.
Guy fought in Ring of Honor. Like, this is craziness. That, you know, he needs to sit back and think, how do I change my style so I'm still good and protect that knee? He needs to do what Shawn Michaels did. He needs to think about what it is that he's doing. This is a shame, because this guy is an inevitable Hall of Famer. You know, and I love Face Rollins more than I love how they... I love Face Rollins as much as I love heel Tyler Black.
Yeah. Although I like him, I don't like the way they book Babyface Rollins, but he takes turds and turn it into a souffle.
And his inexplicable absence from the entire Rumble card was just weird. I'm wondering whether he'd hurt himself previously and they just used that as an excuse.
That could be.
Because it seemed weird that he was not anywhere, that he turns up at
NXT.
By the way, what do you think of TakeOver?
TakeOver was pretty damn good. It wasn't the star-studded show that it normally is. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I wasn't the biggest fan of the women's match. There was a bit of a logic gaffe with that four-way.
Yeah.
If Peyton, Royce, and Billie Kay were really not concerned which one of them won the belt, one could have just laid down for the other, match over.
They've booked themselves into a corner with those two, and they got to break them up fast. It was just a bad mistake.
It was a way to protect Asuka, though, to keep the belt on her.
But you didn't need to protect Asuka because she came out there and just looked great.
Yeah.
The logic gap was the big problem there. And Kay and Royce, they need to let them actually really go, because at the moment they got them booked as Weasley heels, and the age of the Weasley heel is over.
Yeah.
Even the Miz actually goes out and fights. You know, he gets an assist, but like old Miz, who would just be like, I'm going to run around the ring. No one's going to buy that anymore.
No, not at all.
The one who did impress me in that match, because she came out looking really good, and Nikki Cross defined her.
Her and Asuka are going to have some wars. She's bringing it to her in a way that I don't think any of Asuka's challenging. Nikki Cross just is that crazy. She has no fear.
Yeah.
And Asuka, I don't think she's had that opponent yet, that kamikaze, like, I'm going to go down. I'm going to take you with me.
Those two together, that's what they need to have for the takeover for WrestleMania. It needs to be that match, because I don't see anybody else in that position, and I don't think anybody else is going to produce a better match in the women's roster at the moment. Although they seem to be pushing for Ember Moon, which I'm okay with. I am okay with Ember Moon, but I'd rather at the moment, just because the way the plot's going, I'd rather you let
Ember Moon,
and have Ember versus Asuka at SummerSlam.
Ember Moon is great, but I didn't buy the Triple H excuse of why Balor was down there so long. Now I kind of see it, where those who don't know how to work the hard camera.
Yeah.
I see it kind of with Ember Moon. Her entire game is nearly perfect, but anytime she's doing, like, insane moves or whatnot, she does not know how to work the camera right after.
Yeah. That's one of those things I think you just learn. I mean, she came straight from the indies. Yeah. She didn't go via TV. This is her first real TV time, exactly. And she is taken to it like a duck to water.
Yeah. I say another year in NXT and she'll be ready to go.
Oh, she'll be top level talent, exactly. Automatically, which they're going to need, because if the rumors about Nikki and Brie being out, that's a lot of how they book. Let's be honest, Carmella has not worked out as a wrestler.
Ship her to Raw, put her with Enzo and Cass.
They keep thinking that they can possibly do something in the ring with Lana, which is never going to happen. Lana is a manager and needs.
Lana's a great manager. Carmella comes from the era of Divas. Like, if this was 2005, she would have fit in perfectly, but
yeah,
no longer.
I gotta ask you, with TakeOver, Authors of Pain, I know why this is the logical summation of the plot, is to put the belts on them.
I think it was too soon.
Well, yeah, I think that's the thing. It's too soon because the plot's not right. The storyline is not exactly there.
Not just because they're still not fully there in the ring, but you're right.
Story. Do you mean they're the people most likely to kill someone in the ring?
I didn't want to say that.
I said it for you. I don't know.
People want to call Seth Rollins reckless. Like, no.
That double powerbomb is going to kill someone.
That Super Collider has to go. There's no way on the main roster. Yeah.
Running the two guys into each other is fine, and then if they backed up and just did single power bombs, that would be fine. And in fact, when they did that part onto Gargano and Ciampa, it looked great. Really, really good. But
when they do it the other way, like on top of each other,
and they're going in blind, they can't see who they're dropping it on. There's that pair of jobbers that they almost killed one of them. Good grief. They need to stop it. It's like Braun Strowman's too.
That face, that first choke slam.
Yeah, not that. That never, God. Never, ever, ever on that.
That's, never again.
But and they are. I know it's developmental, but there's developmental, and then there's green, and there are still some things about them that are so green.
They've lost, and within a year span, they've lost so many tag teams
and TM61 are out.
Oh, yeah. Shane has to get his knee?
Yeah, his knee's been surgically repaired.
I've not been as impressed with them since they showed up in NXT.
Their final match in the tag team challenge, the Dusty Challenge,
yeah,
was actually really good. Their match against Authors of Pain, yeah, they looked really good out there. So that's the really sad thing. I think they were starting to really adapt to the style. And I think it kind of blew up in their face. And then, of course, the big belt change, the inevitable.
I mean, it was inevitable. I thought it would be at their second meeting. I didn't think first meeting that Bobby Roode was going to take that
championship. Well, I don't know. I actually think this made a lot of sense and they booked it right, that basically Shinsuke, you know, damages himself but wants to keep fighting.
Yeah.
And this means that, and the way they booked Bobby Roode is, he's the guy who's worked out how to beat Shinsuke. And yeah, it's not by brute force, because at the end of the day, Shinsuke will just come back. You've got to outwit him. Yes. So what this does is this forces headfuck Shinsuke. Yeah. This is Shinsuke the
he
weirdo.
He got his head, yeah.
Yeah, and Shinsuke's got to go, I've got to get in Bobby's head. So when you get them come back, and I'm sure that's going to be the rematch for SummerSlam.
Sets the feud up so differently than the Samoa Joe Shinsuke Nakamura, which felt like big fight MMA smash in your face type feud.
Well, it also shows Shinsuke can do anything.
Yeah.
But then that's the question now. You know, they brought Joe up. First thing he does is cripple Seth Rollins. Where do you put Joe now?
I honestly felt that Joe needed to go to SmackDown, but it appears he's going to be a Raw guy. So when Nakamura comes up, I'm assuming he's going to SmackDown.
Oh,
and
I think 100%.
Him and AJ are going to tear the house down when they feud finally.
Yeah, which is, you know, you can.
I trust Shinsuke on SmackDown more so than Raw because the creative team.
Oh my god! And 3 hours still. Yeah, I know that a lot of people have commented on this, including
myself several times.
And Dave Meltzer has actually gone back, and Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez have gone back and looked at the ratings. And you know,
the third hour, there's always a huge drop off.
Yeah, well, it's not just that. You introduce the third hour, it hits the ratings for everything else. And Raw started beating Nitro when Nitro went to 3 hours.
Yes, in January 98.
Yeah. And it's exactly what I'm about, because it's just too much. Everyone keeps saying when you've got the network.
Everyone keeps saying it was the Mike Tyson thing at WrestleMania 14 that built to the. No. The ratings, it Raw started going up and Nitro slightly started going down in January when they went 3 hours. They didn't surpass them until that WrestleMania, but the trend already started three months before that's when
they started losing. Because that was also when they introduced Thunder as well.
Oh,
so they went from two hours,
5 hours a week.
And the team couldn't handle it. And it's just too, now we're just too much for the audience.
Yeah, it's just too much content to have to keep up with.
But yeah, talking about Shinsuke and where he came from,
Wrestle Kingdom.
We have to talk about Wrestle Kingdom because, you know, I think that's cast such a shadow over the rest of the year. It's like, where does everything go?
I'm sure Vince is now scared shitless because of all of the buzz around Wrestle Kingdom, and also, that Mania may not be able to top it.
New Japan World is also cheaper because of the conversion rate on the yen. It's actually $8.50 a month. And okay, you don't get quite as much, and some things you're not going to get at all, but you've got the access to the entirety of the New Japan archive, and there is amazing stuff. You know,
and even if you don't want to do that, Access TV shows they used to be about a year behind. I think they're only about 2 to 3 months behind now.
And, you know, it was a good card all the way up.
All the way.
And then
that main event.
Kenny Omega versus Okada. Everybody was excited. I didn't catch it live. I watched it afterwards, and everybody was like, you know, you won't believe this thing is 50-something minutes. And I'm like, look, at a certain point, you realize it's a 50-minute match.
And even a great match, once you cross that 30-minute mark, you start feeling it.
And this was two guys going out there and doing what New Japan does really well, which is, everything is on the line. You have built to this point. It's not like WrestleMania where you think, well, okay, what they're actually going to do coming out of WrestleMania is set up the next year. What they did was they went, this is two guys who spent a year hating each other, who've reached this point. And you know that if one of them can land their finisher really strongly, the other guy is dead. Which is why they had Okada land lots of not quite Rainmakers. And it's when he really gets it. And that's why Omega never hit the one
winged angel. Nope. Not once. So it protected his move, set up a future hopefully title match sometime down the road.
The idea that New Japan, now he's re-signed for at least 1 year. There's a lot of word that it may be a multi-year contract, which is rare in Japan. That was just... I don't know, people have bitched about a couple of things. They bitched about the table spot. I didn't have the issues with the table spot. Some people did.
Yeah,
I've seen far worse table spots. At least he was taking it across his back. The top rope...
The dragon suplex.
No one ever needs to do that again. That was such a bad idea.
I agree.
No. That was, bar that one thing, this was just an off the charts match. It was so good. You could walk in that and not know anything about those two guys and they told such
an amazing story within the span of that 47-minute match.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. This is just. And what I really liked, this is the thing that I think people have... There's been a lot of bluff and bluster over the past couple of weeks about, what does this mean for Bullet Club?
Where is Kenny Omega going to wind up?
What does this mean? And Bullet Club's in a transition period, Adam Page. Adam Page is the new Ring of Honor champion, and therefore, he's in a good position. But the Young Bucks have lost the New Japan IGPW belts. It just looks like they're in a weird position. Yeah. And I was like, no, what they're in a position of is that they've kind of used up their welcome in New Japan for a while.
Yeah.
Which is fair. That's absolutely fair. And I think Ghetto giving them some breathing room, because you give them a few months away, they're going to come back. They're going to come back fresh. They can work Ring of Honor. That's not a problem. It's going to look, they can come over there, and you've got Adam Page,
Cody, Adam Cole.
I mean, I love Hangman Page. Hangman Page gimmick is just
him
so
and Lethal had
so great.
A freaking amazing match.
Because he's a big lad. He doesn't look it, but he's a big lad. And it really, really, everything about him works. You've got all the New Japan guys who can still come up. And maybe this is going to give the Tokyo Pimp a little bit more time to really pull his stuff together. But why it works is because the instant they look to be out of the picture because they've lost pretty much all the belts, in comes Suzuki Gun.
Oh. I don't know where.
Who may be I think that was the other thing. Like, you get a little bit used to factions. I think New Japan's saying, we need to put you on the back burner for a moment. Minoru Suzuki turns up after, where have they been? Because they've been somewhere else for a couple of years. And I can't remember where.
Noah?
Yeah, it was Noah. They were over in Noah. They were doing some stuff there for a while. But having them come in, and just destroy Okada the night after. And nobody does evil heel better than Suzuki.
Agreed.
Yeah, and I was reading the interview he did afterwards where he just went, I give a fuck about New Japan. Why should we? Why should we care about New Japan in the slightest? This is ridiculous. We go where we want, we do what we want, and he is chilling. And I think, he's the only 50-something guy in the industry at the moment that you can put a belt like that on.
And it looks believable.
Yeah, because he's just mean, and he's got this gang around him. And they're clearly at some point setting up Suzuki Gun versus Bullet Club for later in the year. Yeah, the Bullet Club can be like, no. And, I think the sad thing is that Chaos is going to get a little bit lost in the mix. But you got Will Ospreay. It's fine. Yes,
exactly.
Will Ospreay.
You always have Los Invernadles, so they're always going to pop up when they want to.
And they've been booked pretty strong since. So, ain't nobody suffering in New Japan. Every year, everybody goes, well, they're going to lose all their talent. It's like, New Japan's fine. They've been doing this forever.
The company I'm worried about is AAA. Holy crap.
Have they got anybody left?
It's become WCW 1995, where we're only going to push these, five guys or these six guys, and anyone else wanting to get over, tough. Okay, bye.
Oh,
Pentagon left.
Speaking of Mexican promotions, they're putting the card together for Ring of Honor Supercard, which is the Ring of Honor New Japan CMLL, yeah. And the fantasy booking.
Holy crap.
Has, you know, that one day we'll get to see this. Hardys versus the Young Bucks.
I thought a couple of Ring of Honor shows, we got a couple of videos of Broken Matt, and we thought we were going to get one that night. We started a delete chant when the Bucks were coming out to the ring.
I don't even know how you book that match. I think you just get out of the way and let those guys do what they want to do.
Are you going to do it in a ring, or are you going to do it at the Hardy compound? There's many different ways
you can do it. You do that one in the ring. I mean, that I think you don't even do a build up to that, apart from let Matt do some videos.
The three beast spots monkeys, as he calls them.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. It's exactly what you need it to be.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be off the charts. I think it's going to be, a lot of people are going to buy that, because I think that's going to be the one where people just want to see, you know, the Young Bucks, who, God, even on a TV match, they're just off the charts good. Now, yeah, I mean, yeah, they are spot monkeys, but the whole thing is that they're...
They give you your more bang for your buck.
Their spots make sense.
Yeah,
I mean, I was watching their match versus the Tempura Boys last night.
Just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and it was on TV last night, and that was so good. So good. And they made the Tempura Boys look like $1 million.
Oh, my God. The match they had against the Briscoes last night. Son of a... Six stars started being chanted toward the end of the match. This may have topped DIY Revival at Toronto. It was 2 out of 3 falls.
Oh.
And... Son of a bitch. There's this, I don't want to ruin the entire match, but there's one spot where Matt has Jay Briscoe up for the Meltzer driver out in the crowd. Nate runs from backstage, gets to the stairs, does a front flip, drills him like, okay, I'll chant 6 stars now.
Yeah.
But yeah, what other promotions? Oh, TNA. More things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah.
I really thought the new owners, Anthem Entertainment, I thought they were going to revitalize the entire look of the programming, and kind of feels like the same TNA.
Same old, same old. But we got to move on to the topic that is near and dear to my heart, and that is suddenly the fact that people have gone, ooh, there's a lot of talent coming out of the UK at the moment. And there really is. I mean, it's
a plethora of amazing athletes.
I remember kind of during the late 90s, early 2000s, the British indie wrestling was... There were a couple of promotions. I mean, I used to go to Frontier Wrestling Alliance all the time. I used to go to London. I used to go to their events in Morecambe. And, you know, they'd occasionally get some larger names. I mean, Doug Williams would turn up.
Yeah.
But it was smaller talent. It was so weird. Because I watched the World of Sports event that ITV put on. And
still haven't had a chance to catch that.
Shane doing the commentary. And I'm like, Alex Shane doing commentary, and I was like, yeah. I remember watching you in FWA. Wow. It was so weird seeing this guy on TV. I mean, you didn't get a chance to catch the World of Sport. It was really interesting because World of Sport wrestling in the 70s was huge. And they did actually have a lot of good video packages talking to people from the era, explaining like who the big talents were and like why Giant Haystacks versus Big Daddy was the feud that defined the decade. And people like, you know, how people like Jackie Palo, which is revered as gods, and Mark Rollable, Rocco. But then very few of them made it up to the States. And this really was an attempt to bring back some of that legacy. What was weird was that they didn't use World of Sport rules, which was time limited and points and all this stuff, and it was like they didn't use that. I was like, and it was so strange watching it because there was still some very British World of Sport elements to the wrestling, but it also felt the undeniable influence of the WWE on it. Yeah, it was a solid It was a good eye pay-per-view. I think is the best way to describe it. Yeah, Dave Mastiff looked really good.
Really?
The fact that, you know, they clearly are trying to see whether they can turn this special. Oh my God, best thing about it, Jim Ross. Having Jim Ross back was so great. Him and Alex Shane as a commentary
That's
pairing.
That's gonna be a hell of a team.
That was really great because you got, you know, a great color commentator and a guy who knows the industry and knows all these guys inside out. The big question, and I know why they did it, was putting the belt on Grado at the end. I mean, Grado is way better than people give him credit for.
The guy's
no cheeseburger.
No.
He's actually pretty good. But he is a... And that's the kind of thing. He fits into the British wrestling tradition of, like, you can be a comedian, an actor, and a wrestler. That's okay. It's not a problem. Yeah. And he really pulls into that. But the... You know, he's not Dave Mastiff, and you coming in now where you've got the name recognition, but can you hang an entire promotion if they move forward with that promotion off the back of Grado? Yeah, this guy's actually a regular. He's got a sitcom in the UK. Yeah, he has a sitcom.
Did not know that.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. Yeah, it's you can catch it. You know, it's online, floating in the ether. It is well worth watching. It's not phenomenal. It kind of got screwed in the ratings because I can't remember what the football match was they put it up against, but it was something that just drew obscene ratings. So it got clobbered. It didn't make the numbers, I think, people any... It was respectable, but it wasn't...
Surprised he doesn't have some sort of animated series. I mean, you had Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling. You have the Japanese one.
You got Grado Eats a Pie. but this brings us to...
The UK tournament.
The UK tournament.
Oh, my God. Those 2 days... Was full of ass kicking from top to bottom.
Yeah.
I loved every minute of it. I kind of feel that it was a bit better than the Cruiserweight Classic.
Oh, yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Oh, I think definitely. I think it was better booked.
Well, you knew who was staying, and I think that's what hurt the Cruiserweight Classic. We knew who would not sign a contract, so we knew who was not going to go to the finals.
I did think it was a bit petty that apparently they wouldn't book Zack Sabre Jr. because he turned down a contract after.
Yeah.
But Zack will end up in the WWE.
He's
got a few things.
Talent always rises to the top.
Yeah, he's got the Kenny Omega thing of, like, you know, yeah, one day I'd like to be with you guys, but there's other things I can do first.
Yeah.
And they will probably make me a better investment when I do come back to you. I didn't know until I listened to an interview recently that... Kenny Omega actually was he was on Talk Is Jericho. He actually was on an Ohio Valley Wrestling developmental contract.
How long ago was that? Early 2000s?
Mid 2000s. Okay. Like, I mean, he was way back when, and he actually went to Johnny Ace and said, look, you guys aren't going to, you know, push me the way I want to be pushed. You know, I'm not going to develop in the way I want to develop. I'm just going to become a mid-carder for you guys at best. And I'm probably going to churn it up in the machine. Let me go to Japan and I will come back as the kind of resource you can use. Well, yeah, now he's, you know, one of the best guys on the planet, you know.
honestly, it was the best decision, especially given the fact that I still feel that he would not have gotten the push that he deserves if it weren't for Punk and Brian changing management's idea of what's a main eventer.
Yeah. I mean, they might have booked him as the next Edge if he'd have been lucky.
Edge or Jericho. I could see them booking him.
Because he's not actually that small. He's a big lad.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still don't think they would have known exactly what to do with him yet. And I think, you know...
I trust Triple H to give him the push he deserves more so than I trust Vince and Kevin Dunn.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, there's a given. But yeah, the UK tournament was just stellar. And, oh my God.
Deserving winner.
A star was made. It's weird. You look at the three people I look at now as people who weren't necessarily... Well, one of them were. Weren't necessarily on people's radar as much as they are now. A year ago. Okada, he's what, 26?
26.
And just obscene. Leo Rush, who everybody's looking at now and going like, sky is the limit.
He's the future.
For this guy. Yeah. And Tyler Bate, who nobody knew before this.
Yeah.
And came out and just... he's 19!
And he
he's
has 19. Such ring presence.
Can I say again? He's 19!
Not just with his offense, not just with the moves, but ring psychology, his presence, his aura. 19 and he has an aura already.
And the thing, he's the...
He knows how to play to the cameras. He knows... He has stuff down that veterans that have been in the industry for 10 years or more still kind of struggle with.
He's so good. He is an absolute natural.
And he is the type of wrestler the WWE would sign in a heartbeat.
Yeah. And I think, well, I mean, they have. You know, well, it was so weird because, you know, his first televised defense was against Oney Lorcan. On NXT, which is he's a weird guy. Vince is never gonna push him, but he's really good. You know, it's like
very good.
Yeah, very good. Actually, it was, but yeah, the I think the thing that gave this the edge over the cruiserweight
Mustache Mountain.
Just all the way along, just great. But was that you look at it and you go, yeah. There's more styles clashing here because I think there was that element of in the Cruiserweight Challenge. There was so many high flyers, and you really needed a couple more
ground technicians and submission specialists, martial artists.
And I think a little bit more variety would have really helped it. It was still great
because you still had submission guys that would take to the air. You had martial arts strikers that would take to the air.
Yeah.
You know,
whereas, you know, the thing here, even when you had somebody who take to the air, like Wolfgang, you know, which...
defies the laws of physics.
Yeah.
That someone his size can do some of the stuff that he does.
Oh, he was phenomenal. Pete Dunne looked great.
Pete Dunne is premier heel.
Yeah.
Premier heel. He is the heel that WWE loves to have.
Yeah. And then, you know, the WWE needs to book Trent Seven as a trainer right now,
right?
Because he made Tyler Bate. You know, the whole Mustache Mountain thing works so well, and it a lot of that is because Trent Seven, he's not going to get over in the same way. They're not going to be able to use him in the right way.
Yeah.
You know, but that man knows how to build ring psychology. And I think they need him as a trainer. I think also
they need him on 205 Live.
Oh yeah,
honestly, to help some of those guys with their promos, to help with their characters. That's what 205 Live is lacking: characters that are interesting that make you want to watch the show.
And the fact that Nigel McGuinness is now going to be on NXT, taking over from Corey Graves.
Yeah,
Corey
Graves is so overworked right now.
No, but I will miss that guy.
I will
on NXT. But yeah, and because now, how big is the Raw announcing desk?
Well, Raw is still three. It's SmackDown that has four.
Oh, yeah. Inexplicable. Two.
Tom Phillips being there, it kind of feels like they're pushing Moro. You're not our type of
Which is guy. So stupid. Just so stupid.
Which is dumb. He is probably the best commentator of this era, right?
Or, you know, worst comes to worst, put him on NXT with Nigel McGuinness and have the best commentating
ever.
Best commentary team ever.
And have Jim Ross come to do the takeover before Mania have a 3-man desk. That's a 3-man desk. I'll be okay with.
I would. Yeah, it's a rarity, but that one I could live with.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is This has been an insane month, and we've seen multiple stars really make. I mean, let's be honest. Kenny Omega was somebody people knew about, and a lot of people who follow wrestling.
We like him, but we didn't think he was capable of that.
Yeah, and he comes out and does the best thing, which is go to ground for a bit. So when he comes back in New Japan, you look at it and just go, this is really clearly, you know, a guy you can hang a promotion off. That, and my suspicion okay, this is, you know, this is all, you know, headcanon booking. My suspicion is that he's going to come back in some way and say, Okada beat me because he was better than me. And he's kind of implied that in some of the promos that he's done and some of the statements. He's like, you know, I came out there and I thought I was going to win. And I couldn't beat Okada. On the day, on the best match I've ever done in my life, Okada was better than me. I just have to admit that. And now Suzuki-Gun is trying to kill the guy that beat me fair and square, 1, 2, 3 in the ring. No. And that sets up Bullet Club versus Suzuki-Gun.
Yeah, because I want my rematch. You're not going to destroy Okada before I get my rematch.
I'm going to beat Okada fair and square.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat Okada.
To prove I'm the man.
Yeah. My suspicion is he will beat Okada at Wrestle Kingdom 12.
You think they're going to do a slow burn?
Okay. I think they do a slow burn because before that, you have
Bullet Club.
Bullet
Club versus Suzuki-Gun. I think this year's G1. That's going to be where that.
And you have Omega beat Suzuki for a title shot against Okada. Keep the belt on Okada for a year. Have him as the imperiled babyface champ.
Ric Flair.
Yeah, works so perfectly, and then you pay off next year by having Omega win. But Omega then is less like the evil Gaijin. Yeah. He's the guy who's had a degree of redemption.
He's the man. He becomes the man.
Yeah. And then you do what it is. You could well have him in the position where, oh, here's what you do. He finds himself betrayed by Bullet Club because they're like, ooh, well, you know, you're not really, you know, are you really, why are you trying to help Okada? Why are you trying to do this? We hate Suzuki-Gun and we want to kill them, but that doesn't make our enemy's enemy our friend. And then eventually that pushes him, Omega out, gives it, you know, you probably put, Cody Rhodes
as the
in his slot, yeah, the old AJ slot, and that works perfectly, and that keeps Bullet Club fresh. It keeps a little of the pressure off Adam Cole for a while because he's still a little, he's not green, but I think he needs a little bit more time to step up to that kind of role, and a little bit of time to evolve the Adam Cole character to that kind of role. But I really think that, you know, I that's got to be the scary thing for WWE. It's like people keep paying attention to what's happening with New Japan, and they look at their $10 a month and went, "Do I want to watch that, or do I want to watch
two less dollars to watch this awesomeness?"
And then occasionally get fight or flow slam. It's like, oh, they were first to the game. That does not mean they're going to be the only ones in the game. And I think, you know, New Japan, I think, has a real opportunity at the moment. Not that they really care. I mean, they own Japan. That's pretty an incredible much market.
Now, that show they're doing in California is going to be quite the test run. If it does gangbusters and they start doing more and more U.S. shows, I think WWE is going to be forced to respond.
Oh, yeah. Which is not a bad thing.
Yeah. Duke, so we hit all promotions?
We did.
Oh, except next week, Lucha Underground Seasons 1 and 2 hit Netflix.
Really?
So anyone who's not caught up, and I'm assuming once Season 4 starting, Season 3 will then hit.
The complete insanity of Season 3, which has made less sense than ever, but goddamn, that roster's great.
I loved it Season 1. Season 2 was pretty decent. I've not enjoyed Season 3.
I don't think anybody has.
It seems like weird booking decisions. Like the classic Lucha Underground, let's debut someone and have them lose in their first match.
Yeah.
What the hell?
And let's be honest, their continued commitment to
Sexy Star, the Roman Reigns experiment of Lucha Underground. I don't get it. Ivelisse can wrestle circles around her and she's did not get the push that Sexy Star does.
Anyway. That was a busy month. I'm not complaining. So anyway, that's us tapping out again. Thank you so much again for listening. Check out all the other podcasts at oneofus.net. Follow us on Twitter at oneofusnet.
Plugs.
Gene, you first.
Smart Country at oneofus.net, and of course the Scrum Sports, where I cover pro wrestling for both sites.
And you can find my stuff regularly on oneofus.net and also at theaustinchronicle.com. And also, I recently wrote some stuff, wrote something for Birth, Movies, Death. So head over there as well. I know. It's all so exciting. Anyway, as always, I've been Richard.
And this is